Let's just gladden our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let's still our hearts as we seek God's face for God's blessing upon God's word. Our Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege of just bowing at Your feet now. We remember those, Lord, who cannot gather with us today. Those who are incapacitated through illness, through old age, through hospitalization. We commend such to Thee and to the word of Thy grace that is able to build them up. We thank You, Lord, for each of our full-time workers who have left this church to go to other lands with the gospel of the grace of God. We pray, our Father, Thy blessing upon them this day, that Thou wilt encourage them in the work of the Lord. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Grant, Lord, that we'll never get to the place where we take this book for granted. Grant, our Father, that Thou wilt give us an increasing appetite for Thy word, a developing understanding of Thy word, and implicit obedience to Thy word. Lord, we need Thy help as we come to Thy word just now. Thou knowest the needs that are met and represented in this place. And we pray, dear Lord, that out of Your word, You would meet our individual needs. We pray, our Father, that as we preach, we may know that fresh touch from the hand of God, filling us and empowering us with Your Spirit, and that the word of the Lord might have free course in our midst and be glorified for Christ's sake. Amen. We're turning to the book of the Psalms this morning, and we're reading at Psalm number 3, please. We have been looking at the Psalms these Sunday mornings. I trust you've been encouraged, as I have been, in preparation. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, when your world falls apart. When your world falls apart. And we're going to see this morning as we look at this psalm that David's world fell apart. If you look just at the little title, the introductory remark at the top of your Bible in Psalm 3, it says this: a psalm of David. Incidentally, as I'm going to tell you in a moment, that's the first time the word psalm appears in the Hebrew Psalter. It says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon Thy people, Selah. Just keep your Bible open there at Psalm number 3. When your world falls apart. The psalm that we have read this morning is unique in the fact that it is the first time that the word psalm appears in the book of Psalms. The Hebrew word is mizmor, which means a poem that is to be sung to a musical accompaniment. This is the first psalm that David is recorded as having written. And I believe that this is a psalm for today, because it speaks to us where many of us really are this morning, and where many of us really are from day to day. You see, all of us live with a certain amount of tension. And sometimes that tension gets to us. Tense and tension have the idea of being stretched taut, pulled, like a rubber band that's ready to snap. Doctors tell us that prolonged tension can lead to insomnia, high blood pressure, hypertension, heart disease, and so on. There are many strategies that are being brought before us and are being brought before us today for coping with the pressures and the tensions of life. Our bookshops, our secular bookshops and our Christian bookshops, are filled with books that teach us relaxation techniques. They tell us to get more exercise, especially walking. They tell us to simplify our lives, and so on and so forth. Many of us feel like the little boy who was asked by his mommy if he was sleeping. He said, "Well, Mom, my body is lying down, but my mind still keeps sitting up." Now, is there any help for us in the circumstances of life when we feel that everything is caving in around us, when our world is falling apart? Well, I believe that Psalm number 3 provides an answer to those questions. The background to this psalm is bad news. I wonder, have you ever experienced a day or a week or a month or a year when bad news was good news because the next news was always worse news? I heard about a doctor on one occasion who called a patient and said, John, I've got some bad news and some worse news." The patient said, "Well, doctor, what's the bad news?" The doctor said, "You've only 24 hours to live." John said, "Well, what's the worst news?" The doctor says, "I tried to call you yesterday." These were dark days in the life of David. Not only had his son Absalom rebelled against him, and had taken the kingdom from him, taken the government from him, overthrew the government. But now Absalom was pursuing David, and he was trying to kill David, and the walls of David's life were crumbling around him. The nation as a whole had been deceived into following Absalom, and had turned against King David, and David had gone from being a king in the palace to being a fugitive on the run. He was even being ridiculed by people as he passed over the brook Kidron and over the Mount of Olives and as he headed across the River Jordan to a place called Mahanaim. He was being pursued by his own flesh and blood, by his own son. And one morning when the armies of Absalom were closing in upon him, when it appeared that everything was lost, God gave David this psalm. Now, if you look at the psalm closely this morning, you'll notice that it is a mourning psalm. Psalm 3 is a mourning psalm, and Psalm 4 was written during the same time, underscoring the same events, and it's an evening psalm. Now, I wonder, can you identify with David here? Wonder, are you under stress? Do you have any problems? Are you having relational difficulties with perhaps some in your family? Maybe you're going through a physical illness. Maybe you're being unjustly and unrighteously criticized. If any of these things are happening to you today or have happened to you, stay tuned. If they haven't happened, they will. This psalm is for you. If you look at the psalm, you'll notice David speaks first of all about the foes that bring us down. The foes that bring us down. Robert Ornan said on one occasion, "Sometimes I get the feeling that the whole world is against me, but after deep thought, I know that's not true. Some of the smaller countries are only neutral." Isn't that the way we feel? Sometimes we feel that the whole world is against us. Everything is going against us. Nothing is going for us. And David must have felt like that when he penned this psalm. Indeed, you'll notice that he begins the psalm abruptly. He says, Lord. Like Peter sinking in the sea, Lord, save me. You see, David didn't have the time to go through a long liturgy. His own life was at stake. His very kingdom was fallen. The government was overthrown. And he cries, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? You see, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're determined to give God first place in your life, then the world is a battlefield for you. War has been declared, and you are public enemy number one. Any direction you go, if you go with God first in your life, you're going to meet the enemy. You see, a Christian doesn't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble will come looking for the Christian. Every day when I awake, there are three enemies that are just waiting for me. I've got an enemy around me. I've got an enemy within me. I've got an enemy beneath me. And the Bible calls these enemies the world and the flesh and the devil. And all of these enemies are working 24 hours a day to try and cause you and I as Christian believers to get away from the Lord, to lose our witness, our testimony, and our character. David speaks here about the foes that sought to bring him down. Look at verse 1. He speaks about their increase. He says, Lord, how many are increased against me? Or, Lord, how many have my foes become? The word foes in the original means those who cause him distress by crowding him into a narrow place. David was distressed. He was brokenhearted because of the increase of his enemies. Do you remember how it all began? It involved three of David's children by two of his wives. Ammon was the son by one wife, and the beautiful Tamar and the handsome Absalom were children by another wife. And Ammon developed an infatuation for his half-sister. He wanted her. He wanted to sleep with her. And so one day he forced her. He actually raped her. Absalom was raging. He didn't show it outwardly, but there was a fire boiling within his heart. And he plotted for revenge for 2 years. And then he killed Ammon for raping Tamar. And as a result, he fled the country. He lived in exile for 2 years. And then he returned to Jerusalem with some powerful political ambitions of his own. He began plotting the overthrow of his father's government. I mean, he was as handsome as a Hollywood hunk, and he was cunning. Indeed, the Bible says that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. The government was overthrown. David was on the run. He was running for his life, and he cries, Lord, how are they increased to trouble me? Now, I want you to notice that David was facing a crisis on multiple levels. It was a family crisis. I wonder, is the storm, burdened believer, through which you're passing this morning, I wonder, is it family related? It was a financial crisis. In effect, David had been evicted from his home, evicted from his palace. He had been stripped of all his possessions. It was a physical crisis. I mean, how would you feel if you were running over the hills of Judea this morning and into the wilderness with the Israeli army at your tail with instructions to kill you in sight? Maybe your world is falling apart this morning because of a physical crisis. It was also a spiritual crisis. For none of this would have happened if he had never had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's very interesting if you look at the life of King David. Before he committed that horrible act with Bathsheba, when he took her and slept with her and committed adultery with her and then killed her husband Uriah. It's very interesting that before David committed that deed, he had no real problems in his life. When he committed that deed, problem after problem after problem pursued the life of King David. And the storm is blowing in and he's crying, Lord, how are they increased the trouble? He not only speaks here about their increase, he speaks about their insurrection. Look at verse 1. Many are they which rise up against me. The Bible says the conspiracy was strong. The people continued continually with Absalom. I mean, this guy was handsome. And he was smooth-spoken. He had got a flowery speech. He was a gifted liar. He knew how to please the people and steal their hearts. The army of Israel, no doubt, as most armies are made up of the vigorous youth of the nation, had opted for Absalom and rejected David. And the plot was led. And it was enacted, and the revolt had taken place. Doesn't our trials at times come from unexpected sources? I mean, who would have suspected Absalom for toppling his father? His own flesh and blood was toppling the government and seizing the throne, seizing the kingship. I wonder, has your trial this morning come from an unexpected source? Maybe you're here this morning in the meeting and I don't know your circumstances. Only God knows. But your world is falling apart this morning because of someone in your family, because of someone in your wider family, because of someone in your church, because of someone in your business. It has come from an unexpected source. You can see that David not only talks about these foes and their increase and their insurrection. You'll notice what he says in verse 2. He talks about their inference. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Not only were David's enemies increasing, but the news was getting worse. People were saying the king is beyond help. The word help in Hebrew here is translated save in verse 7 and salvation in verse 8. You see what they were saying, David? David, there's no salvation for you now. David, you've been overthrown. David, God has forsaken you. David, you're suffering for your sin. David, you used to sing about how great is God. Where is your great God now? You see, they weren't just mocking David, they were mocking God. They were not only laughing at David's face, they were laughing at David's father. One day a mother explained to her 5-year-old daughter that if she chose to disobey her, she would have to live with the consequences. The little girl, she really didn't take this in, and she said, Mama, she had a terrified look on her face, says, Mama, she says, I don't want to live with the consequences. I really want to live with you. My friends, listen. We have to live as Christians with the consequences of our actions. We have to live with the consequences of the choices we make. And David's sin had far-reaching ramifications. But this was a sin which was sincerely repented of and God had forgiven him. But the enemy, you see, was still casting it at his face. David, the Lord has left you. I wonder, have you ever been in a spot in your life where it seemed that you were stuck in a vicious cycle of trouble? Trouble was followed by discouragement. Discouragement was followed by trouble. Trouble was followed by discouragement. And all that cycle went, and people said to you, some God you have, that He would let you come down with cancer. Some God you have, that He would allow that trial to cross your pathway. Where's your God now? The Lord has forsaken you. I wonder, dear Christian friend, is that what the devil's whispering in your ear this morning? Where is your God? Why does He allow you to suffer like this? Why doesn't God come to deliver you? Doesn't God care for you? How will you survive? Maybe He's been reminding you of some sin that you committed that is now under the blood. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them and 1,000 more. Jehovah findeth none. There were the foes that bring us down. The second thing I want you to notice very quickly here is this. I want you to see not only the foes that bring us down, but the Father that lifts us up. Thank God for our Father this morning. Our Heavenly Father. The Father that lifts us up. By the way, do your trials drive you to God? Surely one of the purposes in God allowing trial and testing into our lives is to get us to focus on God. You see, David made the same mistake that many of us make when we're in the middle of trials and troubles and difficulties. We focus on our foes, we focus on our fears, and when we focus on our foes and our fears, we get our focus off our Father. Let me tell you what I've learned. When you focus on your foes and you focus on your fears, one day after another will be filled with doubt and defeat and depression and discouragement. You see, what we need to do this morning is focus on our Father. And David speaks here about his Father, his Heavenly Father. And he tells us that his Heavenly Father gives us protection. Look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The original conveys more than a shield. It means a protection that surrounds a man entirely. Now, do you remember the old Star Trek television series? That would date me a little bit. But you know, sometimes the Starship Enterprise would come under attack by the Klingons, and Captain Kirk would say, "Activate shields." And Mr. Spock, you remember the guy with the big ears? Mr. Spock would fill up the controls and he would say, "Shields up." And somehow, electromagnet deflector shields would surround the Enterprise and ward off the deadly attack. That's the word. That's the concept here. The word shield is found 22 times in the Psalms. And David understood that in the midst of his trials, his difficulties, his testings, that God was a shield around him. Did you know that God surrounds us with His protection, love? The psalmist said on another occasion, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear Him and delivereth them." Think about that this morning. Wherever you go, the angel of the Lord pitches His tent right beside you. If you're in trouble, if you're facing problems and difficulties and mountains that you and I don't think that we can climb, the Lord is right there with us. You remember those three godly men that were thrown into the fiery furnace by the kings of Babylon? And we read that the Son of God was right there in the fiery furnace with them. Do you remember that the disciples were storm-tossed on the Lake of Galilee? And Jesus went unto them walking on the water. You remember that when Paul was in the maritime prison in Rome, and he was about to be taken out, and his head severed from his shoulder on the block. And you remember that in that courthouse, in that Roman courthouse, as he looked around the courthouse, not one friendly face, not one Christian stood with him. He says, "The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." In the midst of the crises of life, you've got a more effective tool than this. That God is our shield, our exceeding great reward. Our Heavenly Father surrounds us. He gives us protection. And then if you look at Psalm number 3 again, He gives us perception. You know, whenever trials and troubles come into our lives, you know what we tend to do? We use them as microscopes to focus upon ourselves instead of telescopes to focus upon God. John Wesley was walking with a Christian friend one day. And this friend was perplexed. He was distressed. And he was talking about God's care of him. Somehow he felt that the Lord had forsaken him. He said to Mr. Wesley, he said, "You know, John, I don't know what I'm going to do with my worries and trials and troubles." And Wesley noticed an old cow looking over a stone wall, and he said to his friend, he said, "You know, why does that cow look over that wall?" And his friend said, "Well, because he can't see it." Wesley said, "Will you try looking over your trials and upward to God?"
It all depends on our perspective, doesn't it? The rebels had attacked David's person, but God was his shield. The rebels had desired David's crown, but God was his glory. The rebels had sought David's downfall, but God was his uplifter. You see, when we're discouraged, when we're depressed, you know what we tend to do? We tend to hang our heads. And these troubles that were coming into David's life from his own son and his own family, they were weighing David down. And his shoulders were drooping and his spirits were sagging and his head was hanging. You might be tempted to say, well, who could blame David under the circumstances? But my friend, that was the point. He wasn't under the circumstances. He was above the circumstances. You think about this. You can never focus on God by looking down. You can never focus on your Heavenly Father by looking down. That is why your outlook this morning is determined by your outlook. And when David focused on his foes, he forgot about his father. And when David focused on his fears, he forgot about his father. What about your perspective this morning? Is the eye of your faith on your foes, on your fears, or on your Father who wants to lift you up? Oh, the storm was blowing in. But God was coming to His servant. He wanted to lift him up. He wanted to give him protection and perception. And then he says, He wanted to give me peace. Look at verse 5, if you will. I laid me down and slept I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Hey David, how did you sleep last night? He said, I had the best sleep that I've had for years. Think of it. He was no longer surrounded by the luxury of the palace. He was no longer surrounded by the love of his people. No longer did he command the loyalty of his servants. Many of them had turned against him. And yet he said, I have the best sleep I've had in years. For he discovered the true serenity and true security is only found in God. There are some of you this morning and you sleep well at night. You sleep well at night because you've got savings in the bank. You've got a good job. You've got a great health. My friend, the stock market can crash and take away your money. The economy can take away your job, your business, your shop. Disease can take away your health. But no one can take the Lord from you. I don't care how much you have this morning. I don't care how many title deeds your name is on. When you're going to die, you're going to leave every bit of it behind. But the God in heaven says, I will never leave thee. And I will never forsake thee. There were the foes that bring us down. There was the Father who lifts us up. There's a final thing I want you to notice in the psalm before we close. There's the faith which carries us through. The faith which carries us through. You see, when we focus on God, not only are our fears banished, but our strength, our faith is strengthened. I don't know what kind of problems you may be facing this morning. I don't know what kind of difficulties you're swimming through. I don't know what kind of mountains you're trying to climb. But I tell you this, if you know God, if your focus is on God, your future is as bright as the promises of God. You see, David realized there was no way that he could lose. You'll notice in verse 6, his courage was back. What he says in verse 6 is really kind of weird. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You would think that an army of 10,000 people surrounding him, all wanting his scalp, David would be scared. He says, bring them on. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how numerous they are. The bigger they are, the harder they'll fall. You say, how could David say that? Because David understood that God plus one is a majority in any situation. God plus one is a majority in any situation. Do you know something this morning? If God is on your side, it doesn't matter who's not. But if God is not on your side, it doesn't matter who is.
We don't need to get on the biggest side. We need to get on God's side, because God's side is the best side, whether it's the biggest side or not. Listen to what David later said. He says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me. It is God that bringeth down the people under me, that lifteth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." His courage is back. Look at verse 8. His confidence is back. He says, "Salvation, deliverance, victory belongeth unto the Lord." It's the same word that's used for help in verse 3. You could translate it victory. David figured it out. In any situation in which he found himself, victory belongs to the Lord. Now, if victory belongs to the Lord, and I am a child of God, then victory belongs to me. Any child of God who's living by the Word of God and walking in the will of God and filled with the Spirit of God and committed to the work of God can never lose. That's why our confidence is to be totally unshaken. His courage is back. His confidence is back. His contentment is back. Verse 8, he says, "Thy blessing is upon thy people." He understood. In the darkest, deepest trials, that God's blessing is upon you. I don't care this morning how dark the thunder clouds are that are hanging over your life. I'm here to tell you that they contain showers of blessing. Do you realize that as long as you're a child of God, and you're living in His will, and you're walking according to His Word, you're never out from under the blessing of God. And you see, when you get into the battle, God's going to make you victorious. Is that not what He did with David? You remember that when Absalom had David in sight and could have killed the king, the Lord causes Absalom to listen to bad advice. When he finally found his father, David was strengthened. David was ready for the battle. And he defeated his son Absalom. And Absalom died in the process. The fools that bring us down, the father who lifts us up, the faith that carries us through. I wonder, is your world falling apart this morning? Are there foes just today seeking to bring you down, and they're stacked against you? Well, will you remember this morning that you've got a Father who loves you, a Heavenly Father who has a perfect plan, a blueprint for your life. And that Father wants to lift you up. And my friend, as you focus on your Father, you will have a faith that will carry you through. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. Let's bow together.